Welcome to the Social Contract Commander Podcast. I'm Mike Allman, and joining me as always is my co-host, Alex Lapp. Alex!
Whoa, Mike, I think you may have just blown out your microphone, because I got right. I got like 1% of that,
yeah.
And the rest, I can just tell you were screaming.
No, that's okay, because I've got it over here on the waveform. It got brought up in the Discord. I had to see what I could do.
Wow, okay.
It's going to be rough.
God have mercy on our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Well, not too much, Mike. Happy to be here. We are looking at the Lost Caverns of Ixalan / Jurassic Park. Now, do you have a personal relationship with Jurassic Park at all?
Well, a couple things.
Okay.
My partner, Amanda, loves dinosaurs.
Yes.
Loves Jurassic Parks. I am, and she's very upset with me that I still have not watched all of the movies with her.
Is this including Jurassic World or just
all
the original?
All of the dino movies.
Now, does that transition into a Jeff Goldblum marathon?
You know, if that's the case, I'd be more incentivized.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I might actually counter. There we go.
Right.
Good call. Funnily enough, spoiler alert, Ian Malcolm also present in this set. So like,
yes.
Okay. So to just narrow it down, before Ixalan was, hey, there's this weird island type area where like dinosaurs exist.
Yeah. I mean,
but also
plane
like
is like its own universe almost.
Right. But dinosaurs and vampires is like,
yeah, kind you know, of dinosaur vampires.
Sure. But that's my question. Is there a dinosaur vampire?
I don't think there's a dinosaur vampire.
Well, that just seems
I think those are just different build paths.
Well, either way, they're both things that Amanda likes, which means that they are things that I am at least versed on.
Okay.
So there's a Geshath deck in this house, and I'm all for leaning into the, oh, this is stuff that I like. Great. Okay, cool.
Yeah, there were some Stompies in this set.
Okay, we like Stompies.
I don't think that we pulled very many of them in because
that's all right.
They were mostly like vomit your hand.
Yeah.
That's just good fun.
Yeah. No, don't worry. There's all the stuff that we talk about because I go, ooh, these are things that I would like to put into all sorts of decks. And then I go back and say, all right, I'll make a list of all the things that I am going to specifically
do. I mean, dinosaurs are always pro-Timmy material.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't have a dinosaur commander and it's like, oh, well, that's not very fun. No, it's always fun.
Yeah, this is my dinosaur commander. Dinosaur stacks. Not a thing that I'm expecting to build at any time in the future.
I should make dinosaur stacks.
Okay, before you get any terrible ideas.
I should stack the dinosaurs on top of each other?
That's actually what... That is dinosaur stacks. That's what Geshath does. And it just says, attack. All of the stack of dinosaur go on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. Now, Mike, we do have a number of new mechanics in this set.
We do.
Should we talk about those now or later?
I'll tell you what. Let's see if we can talk about them as they show up.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we'll do a quick inventory and make sure that we're not missing anything.
Gotcha.
Because
you don't want to hear me run my mouth for another half hour.
Well, that's all we do.
Shoot. Are we about to record an episode?
Yeah. We're already.
Oh,
I did the screen. I did the Alex call. What are you talking about?
Yeah, here's the good thing. I wasn't able to hear that.
Yeah.
So only the listeners have to listen to that.
You knew it existed. That's what matters.
We have a nice list of cards here.
Yeah.
We're talking about a number of monocolor cards and a few multicolor cards. Not a ton of commanders, but we do have some interesting stuff in this set. And a couple of cards in particular that really stood out to me. I wonder what you'll think about it.
I'm excited. Let's go ahead and just break right into it, starting with white. Bronzebeak Foragers. Yeah. 3 and a white for a 3/4 dinosaur. When Bronzebeak Foragers enters the battlefield, for each opponent, exile up to one target non-land permanent that player controls until Bronzebeak Foragers leaves the battlefield. Okay, so O-ring on a dinosaur, but
you got
for
a
everybody.
Buffet.
Yeah, grass buffet.
Yep.
Cool. But also has the ability X, white, put target card with mana value X, exiled with Bronzebeak Foragers into its owner's graveyard. You gain X life. That's neat.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. You can kind of spit out the bones, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'm done with this now. You can have it.
Well, even just turning it into, okay, I'm going to get rid of this, this, and this, but I'm really getting rid of this.
So you can have this back.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, you know, you could, I could see you using this and then maybe spinning one of them out, maybe blinking it and getting another three things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some value there. And I think that a lot of the cards we talk about today will be especially effective in a dinosaur type of deck.
Yeah.
But not all of them. Not sure. All of them will be that narrow.
I even like just the idea of it's like the reverse of a rattlesnake. It's from Hell's Heart, I stab at thee or whatever. It's right. Like, oh, you're going to get rid of my Bronzebeak. Okay, well, great. I'm going to kill the thing that it ate from
you. I don't typically go in for a body on this kind of effect, but to be honest, three and a white is not terrible for Grasp of Fate plus a body, and then you have that upside.
Yeah, I kind of dig it. Again, dinosaur vampires. Why don't we go on to our next card and just go ahead and get everything all rolled up into one go.
We're switching over to vampires real quick. Charismatic Conqueror, because we got that Conquistador sub theme.
Oh, that makes sense.
One and a white, 2 mana total for a creature vampire soldier. It's a 2/2 with vigilance. And it says whenever an artifact or creature enters the battlefield untapped and under an opponent's control, they may tap that permanent. If they don't, you create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink.
That's adorable.
That's really cool. I like that decision. They can have it enter ETB. If they don't want to do that, they can give you a token. That's a good thing to have a opponent make that decision. And Mike, I like this mana cost on this effect.
A creature is one thing. Whenever an artifact. So when people artifact, are all of the...
Do you really think they're going to want to tap down their mana rock?
Well, that combined with all of the treasures and whatever else, if you're doing burst effects, and it's not once per turn. It's whenever. So, okay, great. I'm going to make 8 treasures. Okay, would you like to tap those treasures? Or would you like to give me a bunch of vampire tokens?
Tell you what, how about you make 8 1/1s, and you don't send them at me, and I'm going to use this treasure.
Sounds great.
This is that was pretty pressy out of the gate, Mike.
Yeah. No, I like the idea at the same time that this thing that cares about other things tapping is also got vigilance.
This is a little bit of a hate bear. It's a 2/2 for 2, and it's got a hate continuous effect.
There's no hate. It doesn't stop people from doing things. It gives you...
It's a choice bear.
Okay, choice bear I'm fine with.
Okay, you want a choice bear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Choice bear is great.
Choice vampire soldier.
Let's move on to a Dauntless Dismantler.
This is a hate bear.
Yeah, 1 and a white for a 1/4 human artificer. Artifacts your opponent's control enter the battlefield tapped.
Yeah.
You also...
They don't like that.
No, it's super fun. Everybody loves that.
But what do we got, Mike?
But it also has XX white, sacrifice Dauntless Dismantler, destroy each artifact with mana value X.
Ooh, that's an upside.
Cool, that is...
Yeah, so we got that nice hate bear effect that's just good enough to run on its own if you're running hate.
Yep.
But now you also have this dial a spot removal, and if you're in one of those, maybe one of those metas that run some fast mana, Mike, and they're running those 0 and 1 and 2 mana rocks, this isn't even that much to activate. That could be as little as just white,
yeah,
or it could be 2 and white. I mean, it's if you're just trying to hit those low-to-the-ground artifacts, of which there are probably a lot, and Mike... If you're trying to hit treasure, that's 0/0.
Yeah, white. That's white sacrifice this creature, destroy all treasures. Yeah, and that's
also
all
the artifact tokens, all the clue tokens, all that kind of stuff.
It's not bad. This is a hate bear. it's got hate bear on it, and it's got rattlesnake on it too.
And I think that this is balanced pretty well.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
Other people don't value a hate bear as much as I do, but to me, this is not. I wouldn't have thought this would be an uncommon.
I think it's the XX white. If it was just X and white, I could see it.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic. You don't want to use that to hit like all artifacts.
I'm not super excited. I don't want to kill a plant or portal here.
You want to do that for like the 0, the 1, maybe the 2.
Yep. No.
But there's a lot of value in that low end, Mike.
Oh, a ton. It's a pretty decent hate bear here. Go ahead with our next card. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so we got Don't Move. This one's from Jurassic Park. 3 white, that's 5 mana for a sorcery. Destroy all tapped creatures until your next turn, whenever a creature becomes tapped, destroy it. Hmm. Do you have a tap down matters deck? This is going to be really, really
even,
spicy.
Even if you don't, just, okay, great. There's...
It's like, oh, you swung out?
That was a mistake. I wouldn't even mind if this is a five... Like, say nothing's untapped. Great. Five mana. If anybody attacks me and they don't have vigilance, it's dying. Like, that's... It's kind of... It's weird. It's a rattlesnake that isn't. Because it's... All right, here is it's a situational bard wipe. Cool. And then,
yeah.
From that point, you tap any of these things for anything, they're getting destroyed. Mana rock.
If you're running this, you really want to have tap down effects so you can get value. Because you don't want to just use this on a whim and it's like, okay, you can't do anything this turn. They just won't anything.
Put it this way. I'm going to put this in my my Silvala Explorer Return deck. Because, and here's the thing, I'm tapping stuff constantly there, but I'm not tapping anybody else's stuff.
Right.
My whole thing is, I want everybody to have a turn all the time. But, if I truly, truly, truly need to buy a turn, the whole point of that deck is that it's very pillow 40. So, hey, if you tap anything, it's gonna die. Cool.
Yeah, any creature will die.
I like it. Not bad.
That's an interesting one.
Keep absolutely still. Vision is based on movement. I do love that.
Their vision is based on movement.
Duskrow's Reliquary. A white for an artifact, but as an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice an artifact or creature. Not bad. Ward 2. Okay, so it's got a little bit of attacks on it to get rid of it. When Duskrow's Reliquary enters the battlefield, exile target artifact or creature an opponent controls until Duskrow's Reliquary leaves the battlefield.
Mike, that's
value really good value.
This might actually be playable for me. This is an uncommon, and it has the additional cost of sacrificing an artifact or creature. If you're in white and you're in aristocrats, which almost always includes white, that's not a problem at all. And you have this lovely lot. Usually this kind of effect, this O-ring effect, is three mana, Mike. This is one mana, and it has ward 2, which means if anyone targets it, they have to pay an additional 2 generic.
Yeah, it makes it there's a lot more hoops on an O-ring. Like, it's, okay, great, I have to do something additional in order to cast this thing, but then somebody else has to do something additional in order to get rid of this thing. I mean, if you're playing a treasure deck, if you're playing something, okay, great, I'm going to pay a white and a treasure, I'm going to pay 2 mana for an O-ring.
This could slot right into... Silver Bullet.
Oh, a bunch of
because
things.
I just sacrifice a spirit and
any low to the ground deck, now, this is great.
This two strange things here, right? It has this low cost, which is great. It has the ward, which I like. It only hits artifacts or creatures, which is a little bit more limited than most O-ring effects. They hit non-land permanents. But it's an artifact, Mike. Most of these are enchantments and creatures. I don't think we've seen very many of these.
I mean, there's things that will, you know, tap things down or make it useless or things like that. But just a straight up exile effect on an artifact with ward. I mean, it's a very neat card. Like, all in all,
I think this is playable.
Oh yeah. No, I fully agree with you.
And it says reliquary. I think this is a phylactery. Got some kind of lich's heart in there or something, right?
Gross. What's our next card here?
All right, I'm really excited about this one. Get Lost, Mike. One and a white, 2 mana for an instant. Destroy target creature, enchantment, or planeswalker. Its controller creates 2 map tokens. Okay, we haven't seen that word yet. Let's talk about it briefly. Map tokens are token artifacts, and they have the ability to pay 1 tap and sacrifice. Target creature you control explores, activate as a sorcery. Explores means you'll look at the top card of your library, and something. You're either going to, if it's a land, you can put it into play tapped. If it's a non-land, you can put a 1/1 counter on it. I believe that's the Explorer. We had that in the previous Ixalan set, but Mike, this is a little bit of value right here. What do you think about this?
That's nuts.
Creature, enchantment, or planeswalker for 2 mana. And you get to donate those 2 map tokens.
We're all about giving people other things.
That's my favorite kind of spot.
Yeah. I don't know how excited I am about map tokens.
Oh, you're not into it?
No, it's fine. Don't get me wrong. It can be good. It's just... I'm... Destroy creature, enchantment, or planeswalker. I mean, two mana for an instant on that. Yeah. Like I'm actually pretty happy that it's.
I'm glad it's an a little instant bit, and not a sorcery like some other cards I could name.
But see, here's the thing: if I had, I mean, the reason that we love Path and the reason that we love Swords, exile, awesome, yeah. one yeah. white, awesome.
Yeah, they're never doing that again.
No, but the idea of doing that, hey, this is a two mana disenchant on specifically enchantments, but also kill a creature or a planeswalker. Like, I like that it is somewhat modal, but it's not the typical, oh, well, it's going to hit the things like always we're gonna be looking at artifacts and enchantments for that interchangeability. Oh, well, this is, no, creature, planeswalker, or it's a weird mix. Of stuff,
that is a strange mix, but I think that is a good mix of permanents. Now,
I do too.
If you run this, there's definitely going to be that time where it's an artifact you want to remove and you can't. But that won't happen every time, right?
Yeah, no, I dig this a lot. So it's a cool thing.
Okay, it seemed like you weren't too hot on it there.
No. The map tokens is one thing. I like the card. I like a lot.
Okay.
The map tokens, if I'm giving somebody something, I think I want to give them something better than map tokens.
Explorers, that's not bad. I mean, I think it's better than food or blood.
Right. That's fair. On the scale of things, that'll be something we do. What are the token blanks that get made, and we'll rank them?
Now, Mike, but before we do this next card, I'm really excited about.
We have so many cards here.
Oh, my gosh.
Unstable Glyph Bridge. 3WW for an artifact. When Unstable Glyph Bridge enters the battlefield, if you cast it, for each player, choose a creature with power 2 or less that player controls, then destroy all creatures except creatures chosen this way. So it is a mostly board wipe. It also has craft with artifact, 3WW.
We'll get back to that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Do you want me to read that now, or do you want to explain that? Because I think I have to read the other half of this card.
All right, we'll briefly talk about this, and then we'll go over to the back phase.
Yeah.
Craft with is a new keyword, which can seem a little bit complicated, but it's not so bad. It's going to always have both a mana cost and or a material cost. So in this case, it says craft with artifact, 3WW. That means you'll pay the cost, 3WW. You will either exile another artifact you control, or if you have an artifact card in your graveyard, that also counts. So you can do either of those two things. And some of these will require you to get multiple things. This one, it's only one. And then if you choose to activate that ability, you'll exile this card and bring it back transformed. Which, Mike, what happens when they do that?
Blue-doo-doo-doo. They get a Sand Swirl Wander Glyph. Interesting. 5/3. Artifact creature golem with flying. Whenever an opponent casts a spell during their turn, they can't attack you or planeswalker you control this turn. Cool! Each opponent who attacked you or a planeswalker you control this turn can't cast spells. Yikes! So
there's an angel with this text on it.
That's... Wow! Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a 5 mana... Also... 5/3... Nope.
I like both sides of this.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah, so we've got this lovely board wipe on a rock, and once it hits and does the ETB, unless you're, you know, reanimating your artifacts, it's done. It's going to sit there stagnant and be an artifact. But then when you're ready, you can pay another 3WW and exile an artifact, and now you get this angel-style effect where you're heavily disincentivizing people from attacking you, because if they do, they can't cast spells. And if they just want to play their turn normal, they can't attack you.
Yeah.
It's a very... People are not going to attack you when this is out, Mike.
Why is this a $2 card?
Well, it's kind of staxy. But it's not the kind of staxy that competitive level players would use.
I don't see it staxy, though. This is just Pillow 40. This isn't telling anybody that they can't do... Their turn. It is telling people, right. If you hurt me, bad things happen to your turn.
Well, the other problem is that crafting can be a pretty steep cost for transforming a double-faced card. And in this case, it is on the expensive side, although the reason why it costs more mana is because many of these cards that ask for crafting, they'll ask for like 3 or 4 different cards to be exiled. So they're going to get you one way or the other. In this case, they want the mana and a single artifact. But yeah, this is strange that it's only $2. I think this is a playable card. I like this. I don't know if I'm going to end up running it because you need another artifact to exile, but I like these effects. I think this is definitely a playable card, and people are not going to want to attack into you,
Mike. No, I like this card a lot. I like it a lot. That's it. That's it for white. We're going to move on to blue.
What, I think white did pretty well.
White did really good.
Yeah.
What you got?
We've seen this kind of effect before, Mike. Cresting Mosasaurus. It's a 6 double blue. That's 8 mana for a creature dinosaur. It's a 4/8 with Emerge.
Okay.
For 6 and a blue. Emerge, I don't think, features heavily in the set, but it is here. You can cast a spell by sacrificing a creature, and then you'll pay the Emerge cost less that creature's mana value. So if that creature had a CMC of 4, then you're looking at the 6 and a blue. Now it'll end up being 2 and a blue to cast the creature. So it's almost like Champion a little bit, if you remember that back in the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the effect. When Cresting Mosasaurus enters the battlefield, if you cast it, return each non-dinosaur creature to its owner's hand.
Neat!
I think this is almost an auto include in a dinosaur typal deck, but this could just see play in any deck with big blue beaters in it because this is a mass bounce.
Yeah.
And there are other effects that have that mass bounce, but in a dinosaur deck, right, you have that very asymmetric bounce effect. Very powerful there, Mike.
No, this is very cool. It's straightforward. The Emerge cost and it's solid. We're going to be able to cheat it out more times than not is the plan. At least for a little bit less.
You don't want to pay the full cost to sack something.
No, but I mean it.
Now, Mike, if you notice, this thing is eating a whale.
Yeah.
And it's small enough to fit into its mouth.
It's quite large.
That's big. I don't know if that water tank is large enough to support a dinosaur that large. Maybe, I don't know. Is this like a SeaWorld situation where they're...
I don't know, because you look at the people in the stands. Unless those people are giants, like... I don't think this is to scale. Oh,
did it jump like 100 feet in the air?
Even if it did, like, I can see the people. They're like, if it would have to be so...
All right, what is the scale of this card? Help us out.
Let's move on. I feel like if this whale was sitting down next to all those people, it would be like 8 people for one whale.
This is and a really is misleading force perspective shot. The whale is actually huge, and the creature is tiny, and the audience are all giants. Huh.
Well, then I don't know how it's getting 8, but that's pretty cool. speaking of things getting eaten by piranhas, yes. 1 and a blue for an enchantment aura with flash. We love that. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature loses all abilities and is a black skeleton creature with base power and toughness 1/1. Cool.
Mike, that's a combat trick.
That's a really good combat trick.
And you can also use it just in general.
Yep. Oh, you're going to do something cool? No.
Yeah. There's your sudden spoiling in blue for a single creature with flash. So that is, I mean, that's coming right
away.
This can definitely cause some problems. This can cause problems with their commander.
Yep.
Mike, talk to me.
I like Darksteel Mutation that isn't as mean as Darksteel Mutation.
I love Darksteel Mutation.
Of course you do. It's the meanest form of that card.
No.
Alex, it's the meanest form of that card.
Well, what if we talked about something that wasn't as mean as that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Let's move on to Hurl into History, which is 3 blue. That's 5 mana for an instant. And this is a counter spell, a counter target artifact or creature spell, discover X, where X is that spell's mana value. Now, before we gush, let's go over Discover. You may find this is quite similar to an existing mechanic, Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
When you discover, you're going to exile cards off the top of your library until you exile a non-land card with that mana value or less. Normally when we cascade, and this is Discover, normally when you cascade, it's based on that spell's mana value. But Discover is much more broad, right? Because you can set Discover to any number.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's set to X, where X is that spell's mana value. Anyway, when you find that card, X CMC or less, you're going to cast it for free. Or if you don't want to, you'll put it into your hand.
Which is a very cool switch.
Another option.
Yeah, I like that.
So if you cascade into like a counter spell, you're not hosed anymore. You can put that into hand. Mike, how do you feel about this? This is an expensive counterspell, but it has a big upside if you hit a big thing. And we've seen that kind of thing before with treasure tokens,
sure,
with clue tokens. What do you think about these?
So 5 mana for a counterspell is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's
an uncommon.
Man, what? Here's my question. How much, how much mana would the thing that you're casting to
Well, here's the other question, Mike. What are you hoping to cascade into? Do you have a bunch of nice things that are just good to cast for free and they don't even have to be that high of a mana value?
I don't even know. In my head,
it's hard to justify this.
In my hand, what I'm trying to do is I'm looking at it less as that and looking at it as, hey, it's five mana to counter something and put something in my hand. Because that's the worst case scenario as far as what I'm looking at.
Mm.
And if that's the case, that's a little bit high. See,
I want to say this as a blue expertise. I want to be casting something.
Absolutely. I do too. But depending on what you get, might not be the time that you want to put it out there too. You know, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card. Okay, what if the next thing that I get into is another counterspell? Well, I don't want
to
cast that. Yes,
you're going to have to put
that. So that's going to go into my hand. So
you don't even have that option with Cascade.
Right. So it feels like I'm paying a lot of extra mana for a higher floor. And I'm okay with that. It's just, is this something where the worst case scenario is still playable? And I think the answer is more times than not yes.
I don't see myself playing this, but I think in a big mana deck with blue in it, this would be able to have a nice blowout.
Right, exactly. No, this can do a decent amount of work, and right. that's plenty fine. I don't know if this next card does a lot of work, but it has a lot of text. Kite Sail Larcenist, 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human pirate with flying and ward 1. It does do a lot. When Kite Sail Larcenist enters the battlefield for each player, choose up to one other target artifact or creature that player controls. For as long as Kite Sail Larcenist remains on the battlefield, the chosen permanents become treasure artifacts with sacrifice this artifact, add 1 mana of any color, and lose all other abilities.
The best thing about
what the heck is this card?
These episodes with Mike is that he's only learning about the cards as he's reading them, and you can hear his mind like, what?
So this is a 3 mana flying ward 1/2/3 that enters the battlefield and turns up to 3 artifacts and creatures, into treasure tokens.
And they're turning into treasure. So if it's their commander, they'll take care of that immediately.
Will they?
But they. What's the alternative, Mike? They just leave it there?
I think it has to be something where there's a conversation that gets started. Because I'm gonna target everybody.
I guess you have to get rid of Kite Sail Larcenist is the other option.
Right. But depending on what you get rid of. See, I like these cards, but the biggest thing people do is like, oh, I'm gonna get rid of like the 3 scariest things. You get rid of the 3 scariest things, it doesn't matter if you're the arch enemy, you've become the arch enemy. So it's you gotta be careful with this kind of stuff. I'm gonna be really upset if somebody plays this and they get rid of my commander. And if the person to my right is also being affected by this, half the table now no longer target number 1. That guy / that thing. Huh.
I mean, that you definitely have an interesting angle to this. A lot of O-ring effects have this sort of spectrum of whether the thing they turn it into is either an exile,
right, or
it gets turned into something that maybe they can swing in and gets, be able to trade and get into the graveyard, or maybe it's turned face down, or maybe it's turned into something indestructible, like Darkstone Invitation, very hard to get rid of, or on the complete other side, you turn it into something like this, a treasure token, that if you want to send it to the graveyard, you can do so immediately.
I guess if you do turn it into a treasure token and it's a commander, at least you're paying for half of the commander tax to bring it back out.
Oh, jeez.
Man, so the other part of this I have to note, what is this 2/3/3 mana creature doing that is turning creatures into artifacts?
I think it's meant to be stealing them and turning them into treasure.
I guess, man.
Larcenist, like a thief?
Yeah, no, that checks out. It just seems like one of the more crazy abilities. Like,
yeah.
Huh.
You turn him in, is he putting him into that like orange dome or orange ball that he has or something? Yeah. He's hang gliding. It's pretty funny.
I'm considering that the ball from like the Treasure Planet movie.
I love that
movie. It's a great movie. I got Amanda to watch that not too long ago.
You see Atlantis the Lost Empire?
I did.
That film.
We back-to-backed on a couple of those not too long ago. Yeah.
All right.
Much exploration. Speaking of, well, this one doesn't have it, but the set does. What is this card?
Ripples of Potential, Mike. This is really something. One in a blue for an instant. Proliferate. Then choose any number of permanents you control that had a counter put on them this way. Those permanents phase out. So, real quick, proliferation. I'm sure most people know this one. You're going to choose any number of permanents and or players. And you're going to choose a any number of those. And for each counter that they have, each unique kind of counter, you can give them another one. But if you do that, then they phase out. Which, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. Planeswalkers, when it's not your turn, phasing those out is pretty good.
Well, that and the fact that you can choose. Yes. So you're going to proliferate, then choose any number of permanents you control that you did proliferate. Yes.
And you don't have to phase everything out.
Phase out things. Yeah. And this is instant speed. Yeah, this is pretty slick.
So you can pump up a bunch of your planeswalkers or whatever else you need to do, get them into a much more dangerous range where they would want to be removed, and now they're phased out. So as we've talked about before, very few forms of removal can pierce phased out. It's almost impossible.
That's pretty cool.
And it's only two mana.
I like that.
This card's pre-sale for $30.
Yeah.
People understand this is a heck of a pillow for it.
Well,
it's almost like a counterspell.
In a way, like it gets rid of the if we're targeting something, it does that.
Proliferation is quite effective. Now, Atraxa was a phenomenally popular commander and still is, and she's the proliferate commander, and this goes right in.
Oh, for sure. And I've got an Atraxa deck that does weird counters and stuff like that, and this will
accidentally be in there.
It'll accidentally be in there, and it'll absolutely be in there after I do that. Interesting card. I like it. Stormfleet Negotiator. Words are hard. Two and a blue for a 2/2 Siren Pirate with flying. It has parlay!
Mike! It has parlay! We love parlay. What does it say?
Now, before I continue reading, it's rare. It's in here. Parlay is either awesome or terrible. I don't know which it's going to be yet. I'm very scared. Whenever Stormfleet Negotiator attacks, each player reveals the top card of their library. For each non-land card revealed this way, you create a map token, then each player draws a card.
Okay, this is good. What we don't like about parlay is when it happens exactly once. What we do like about parlay is when you can do it multiple times, and you can. Now, obviously, every parlay card is going to be compared to Silvala Explorer Return because she is the god queen of parlay, and the amount of value that you get off of her is unreachable. So this can't be her.
We
stand Silvala. We need to put her on a pedestal because this will never be Silvala. That being said,
that's okay.
Mike, how do you feel about this value?
I am okay with it. I am going to attack with this thing all the time, and whoever blocks it is a monster because they're just taking 2 damage for everybody to get to draw cards.
How many more decades and or centuries until we can have a parlay deck? Because we get like one card every 2 years.
I was going to say going at the rate that we're going.
So it's
going
to be like 600 or 700 years.
Well, you'd also have to get a commander.
We do
that
have
has
a commander, but it doesn't have green in it. Or if it does, it doesn't have white. It's missing one of the key parlay colors.
Yeah, which means the real answer is I don't know. We need to have a commander that's going to allow it. Huh.
I'm very pleased to see parlay.
It's very cool. I want to see more of it. Wizards, please.
See you in the future, Mike. Tishana's Tidebinder is 2 and a blue, 3 mana total for a creature, Merfolk Wizard. It's a 3/2 with flash. And when Tishana's Tidebinder enters the battlefield, counter up to 1 target activated or triggered ability. We're not done yet. If an ability of an artifact creature or planeswalker is countered this way, that permanent loses all abilities for as long as Tishana's Tidebinder remains on the battlefield. Oh my, this is locking it down. Look at this. So here's my fantasy. You're going to flash this in response to a planeswalker ability. Not only did they not get the ability, there's nothing on that planeswalker. It's just a big dumb block that can be attacked.
I hate this card.
Why do you hate this card?
This is a mean
card. This is a counter spell, Mike.
This is a counterspell that turns a creature, artifact, or planeswalker into nothing as long as this thing is there.
This thing, it's nothing. It is not a thing.
I don't like
this. I like this. This is playable.
Of course it's playable! It's like a $12 card! It's a mean card!
Yeah, Mike, the promo foil's 21. Look at that art. Some of this art is amazing.
It looks dope. I just don't like anything that it does or who it is.
Who is this? LaDania? There's a series like this. It's kind of this Aztec, Mesoamerican culture style art. I think it looks great.
It looks very cool. Here's the thing. You said this is a merfolk wizard for 3 mana with flash. And I knew anything else that you said after that was going to be sad. Mm. Because merfolk do mean things, wizards do mean things, flash merfolk does mean things, and it's 3 mana. Heck
of a type support in this set, Mike. And merfolk have always been doing pretty well because they're in the colors for it. They're in Simic. But they keep winning this set. I'm scared of merfolk.
I don't like this card. Right, well, let's
stay
on.
So far away from merfolk that we'll go into black. How about that?
Yeah, and not only that, I'm going to say a word that doesn't seem like a word. Aklazots. Aklazots?
I think that was a pretty good attempt. Listeners, did we get that wrong? Please ask your Aztec / Mesoamerican friend.
Aklazots? I don't know. Deepest Betrayal. 3BB for a legendary creature. Bat God. 4/4 flying lifelink. That's a good amount of keywords. Whenever Aklazots attacks, each opponent discards a card. For each opponent who can't, you draw a card. Gross. Whenever an opponent discards a land card, create a 1/1 black bat creature token with flying. That seems less terrible. When Aklazots dies, return it to the battlefield tapped and transformed under its owner's control. Flip. Temple of the Dead. It is a land. You can tap it to add a black mana, or you can pay 2 and a black and tap it to transform Temple of the Dead. Activate only if a player has 1 or fewer cards in hand and only as a sorcery. I don't mind that.
Yeah, so we've seen gods many times since Theros, and each time we see gods, they have a different form of immortality. We've seen aren't a creature normally and they're indestructible. We've seen they go 3 cards deep into your deck. We've seen they bounce to hand. And now we're seeing this version where they sort of turn into an inanimate object, a land, and then you can bring them back once you fulfill a certain requirement. So aside from that, which makes it very resilient because they become a land, Mike, very hard to get rid of those.
Right.
But let's talk about that front face. This is leaning itself a little towards hand attack.
It's not only leaning itself, it's the actual benefits that you get are really only triggered when you're putting people in a position that they're not able to
flying
discard.
Lifelink. This, I mean, that's going to get through most of the time.
Yeah. Your opponents are typically going to want to discard land cards instead of spells unless they're in a really bad space.
But when
they do. Okay, great. I'm going to get some. Yeah, you get to make 1/1s off of that with flying, which is always nice. Flyer. If you're going to make tokens. Value there. Yeah. But man, draw cards for whenever this thing attacks.
If you get somebody hellbent, you're drawing cards.
Yeah.
Which.
And then again, the backside of it where it's, hey, we need to transform this thing back into the angry 4/4 flying lifelink. Well, you can only do that if you've got somebody who has 1 or fewer card in hand.
Mike, if this was in the command zone, would you just be assuming that their goal is to get your hand permanently empty?
Yeah. If I see this in the command zone, I know my priority 1 target. Because this deck is entirely bent on making somebody not be able to play.
It's bent on making them hellbent.
Everybody. Yeah. Man, this is a mean card. I was trying to get away from that Tidebender. Okay. It was like, oh, let's look at something else. Legendary creature. It's like, no, this is also me.
Let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about the bringer of the last gift. Everybody
I love gifts.
Gifts are great.
Yeah, this will be great.
For a creature vampire demon. It's a 6/6 flyer. Nice. When bringer of the last gift enters the battlefield, if you cast it, each player sacrifices all other creatures they control.
It's not a good gift!
Then, wait, we're not done. Then each player returns all creature cards from their graveyard that weren't put there this way to the battlefield. Mike, living death.
It's likely not a good gift. It's not a good gift!
Living death, living end, which is an effect that I love. You're going to have everybody sack all their stuff, and then everything that was in their graveyard before that hits the field. They might get some stuff, but you're going to get all the best stuff. Especially if you're in black and you have a sacrifice outlet and holding priority on this, you sack your whole board. Now all of that comes back. You get all your triggers. You get all your sacrifice. You're going to probably get a bunch of mana. This.
Oh, I'm yeah. I mean,
this is an 8 mana spell, Mike.
Yeah, I have a Marin deck. So oh, yeah? Like,
now you do have to cast. Seems... You can't reanimate.
I understand. Okay. But the idea that this could just be like, all right, cool. You killed Marin. All right, well, I'm going to get everything back anyway.
This is one
of
your black battlecruiser cards.
Yeah, I do. It's cool. Even just as a, I don't, in the games where I'm not paying enough attention, I'm like, all right, there's too much stuff on the board. We're going to see.
But is there too much stuff in the graveyard?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
We'll find out.
Reanimation is for no one. Go for it. Let's
see.
But for
me, I will get to keep all my stuff and also get everything in my yard because I'm going to sack my whole board.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to figure a way to get my bin as big as possible. That's pretty cool. I do like that.
What if we played it with this spell? They wouldn't like that.
Malicious Eclipse. One black sorcery. All creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. If a creature an opponent controls would die this turn, exile it instead. Get out of here!
Didn't we recently talk about another low-cost pseudo-board wipe that has this exile effect that you could almost use to augment another board wipe?
Mm-hmm. It's something I've enjoyed lately, where it's, hey, if something would die this turn, if this would blank, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is one you can cast on main phase 2 after combat. You've had some damage marked on creatures. They're not expecting to exile those creatures. They thought they won those combats.
Well, even just doing something where it's like, okay, great, I'm going to cast this on main phase 1. I'm going
to
weaken everything.
Even
and now I'm
going to
swing out. So do you want to not get this back?
You can do it on either main phase.
Right. No, that's pretty sick. I like Malicious
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. We got another dinosaur. We're back.
Dilophosaurus. Wow. I am so sorry. 2 and a black for a 3/2 creature dinosaur. Whenever spinning Dilophosaurus enters the battlefield or attacks, put a -1/-1 counter on up to one target creature. Separate ability, creatures your opponents control with -1/-1 counters on them can't block.
Very cool.
If you're in a -1/-1 counters deck, that's dangerous, Mike.
I like this.
This is a $25 pre-order.
Well, that's because it's pretty. And it's a cool effect, though.
It's spinning on Nedry, who tried to do that corporate espionage.
Yeah.
He got what was coming.
I mean, at some point. No, we're not there yet.
We'll
that's
get
later.
There. Nobody
this
can.
Is a very cool card. 3/2,
yeah,
load to
this
the ground.
This really turns a -1/-1 counters deck and extends it into this additional area of, okay, the threat is not just that they're going to die. It's also that they don't serve you a purpose in combat anymore. You can't block with
them. Ixalan is a weird place, but this is a cool card.
Very interesting cards in this set.
Speaking of, Starving Revenant. 2 black for a 4/4 spirit horror. When Starving Revenant enters the battlefield, surveil 2. Then for each card you put on top of your library, you draw a card and lose 3 life.
Wow. So it's really surveil 2, draw up to 2.
Yep, then lose 6 if you do so.
Who cares?
Yeah, it's fine. It also has Descend 8. Whenever you draw a card, if there are 8 or more permanent cards in your graveyard, target opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
That seems like
it could be a problem.
Descend is a multifaceted mechanic that I think we'll dedicate a little more time to after this card, maybe in a bit here.
Okay.
But suffice to say, as this descent is an ability word, you don't have to know anything about it. You can just read what's on the card. And Mike, once you have Descend 8 active, basically a form of threshold, you have 8 or more permanent cards in your graveyard, perhaps you mill or board wipe, Now you have this effect that every time you draw a card, you life drain, which is so dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the amount of decks that build towards I draw a card, terrible happens, is a lot. So something as simple as life drain on that, where you're in black, there's plenty of things that you can do. The facet elf, life gain, life
it's
loss,
etc. It's not even tempered. Like whenever you would draw one or more cards, each opponent loses one life, you gain one life. No, single card you draw, which last time I checked, black is pretty good at doing that.
Yeah. That's pretty slick.
Not so many.
Okay. What's our next one?
All right. Terror Tide. Spooky.
Yeah.
Two black for a sorcery with Fathomless Descent, another ability word. All creatures get -X/-X until end of turn, where X
is heck the number of
your graveyard. That's another descent. So
I love this.
Permanents in your graveyard, you're doing a brutal -X board wipe, which will pierce indestructible cards.
I love this. Toxic Deluge was always too expensive for me for such a long time. Toxic
Deluge is a excellent board wipe. This is you're going to need some kind of graveyard action going on. But Mike, how many permanent cards in your graveyard? How far negative do you need to go that you want to start casting this? Is it 3? Is it 4?
What am I playing against? That's the point. Like if I'm playing against a token deck, one would be great. You know, if I'm playing against Eldrazi, okay, cool. I need 12. I need whatever. Yeah. But here's the point. The fact that this can be useful at any given point, you're in black. There's a decent chance that you're doing something where you're going to manipulate your graveyard anyway.
It has the potential to get stronger in the late game, right? As you have a larger graveyard, and then you have that more powerful board wipe.
Yeah. This is pretty slick. I mean, think about how thick graveyards can get. You know, just a couple of turns in.
We've also been seeing more graveyard removal.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I would...
To deal with this increased graveyard usage, yeah.
I would remove a graveyard if that was going to be cast on me. So that is legitimate. That's it for black. We're moving on to red here. We are moving forward to Broadside Bombardiers. 2 and a red for a 2/2 Goblin Pirate with Menace and Haste. That's Goblin.
Those are a couple of keywords on there.
Yeah, goblin-y and piratey makes sense. It also has Boast, an ability that I don't see enough and I love. Boast, sacrifice another creature or artifact. Broadside Bombardiers deals damage equal to 2 plus the sacrifice permanence mana value to any target. Ooh. When you attack, it's an ability that you can only activate if something has attacked.
Yes, only if this creature attacked this turn and only once per turn. So you can load your cannons once on each of your turns, but you're not getting a little dinky flame, Mike. You're getting minimum of 2,
plus and then you add the mana
value onto that flame. Now, you're a great enjoyer of flame. Please speak.
Oh, flame is great. Flame is great. Any time that you can do damage to a target based off of, I'm loading up the cannon. Well, what am I loading it up with? I don't know.
Not a creature artifact.
Not a treasure token. I need some spice in this. You could do it
for 2. That's not bad.
You could, but I don't want to.
But you want that big cannon shot.
But because this is something that it doesn't say at sorcery speed or anything like that, you play this for 3 mana. You attack because you can attack the turn that it comes out, and it has menace, so there's a decent chance that it's going to stick around. And if you could attack with something else, it's its own kind of version of a rattlesnake to where, I'm going to block the thing that you're attacking with. Cool. Well, I'm going to sacrifice it anyway, and I'm going to do as much damage or as much mana value as it had, plus another 2 to you. I like this a lot.
And this is a nasty little goblin pirate.
Pew, 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 says the goblins. What do you got?
Another red card. Calamitous Cave-In. Status Calamitous. Scary. 3 and a red, that's 4 mana for a sorcery. Calamitous Cave-In deals X damage to each creature and each planeswalker, where X is the number of caves you control, plus the number of cave cards in your graveyard. My cave is a new land type that does not have an intrinsic mana ability, but has characteristics that we're not really going to talk about. Most of the caves that they introduced that I saw just have the ETB tapped, they're non-typed, they tap for a colored mana, and then they have an additional ability where you can sacrifice them for some mana, and you can discover. So you can get some free spells off of your land.
Okay.
But those aren't the only kinds of caves. And I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see caves. That's a very generic land type. And it doesn't have an intrinsic mana ability, so they can just slap that on anything they want.
That makes sense.
Almost like gates, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's where my first, that's where I first went to when I was reading this. I was like, oh, caves you control. All right. So is that gates? Is that something else? Well, it's
new to this set.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's enough cards to support a cave deck yet, but, you know, keep an eye on it.
Fair enough.
Each creature and each planeswalker, I mean, that's a fireball right there. That's Shaunna's condition. Yeah. It's
until, you know, you see how many caves they've got and how many caves, if it's something that they do in the future, though. It's a 4-mana fireball to everything that I don't know. You know, interesting.
It's nice that it finds cave cards in the graveyard as well, right? Because we had this graveyard theme in Ixalan, but doubly, if you're in a deck that cares about caves and you have red in the deck, maybe you also care about having lands in the graveyard and playing them out of the graveyard. So
sure.
It's not even that strange that you would have lands in your graveyard.
No. Well, I mean, a lot of this is, hey, different versions, but hey, I need permanents in the graveyard. I need caves in the graveyard. Right. It's yeah.
If caves get printed again, come back to this card and see how it is.
Yeah. It's worth noting for the very least. Cool dinosaur alert, Scytheclaw Raptor. 2 and a red for a 4/3 dinosaur. Whenever a player casts a spell, if it's not their turn, Scytheclaw Raptor deals 4 damage to them.
Group Slug.
I love this card.
Mike, is that dinosaur happy to see us?
I think that dinosaur... Have you seen... You know the meme of the husky that like looks like it just told a really bad joke? And its mouth is open and just
like the coyote?
Yeah. This is the dinosaur version of that, and I love it.
The joke is, did you just cast a spell and it wasn't your turn?
Take 4. Here's the thing. This is absolutely going in the dino deck. This is going to go into a bunch of other decks, too. Just because, hey, I don't cast instant speed stuff in this deck. I'm going to punish you if you're...
this is the red Grand Abolisher, right? We're not saying you can't do it, but if you want to, you're going to get burned.
I love this.
Yeah, this is a fun one. I like this. And it doesn't have to be a dino deck.
It would be very nice to do 4 damage to somebody every time they try to counter something.
What, are you countering my spell? Screw you.
How dare you?
Raptors.
Yeah! Another one!
These look like toucans.
They do!
For a little feathers. For a creature dinosaur, it's a 5/5 with trample.
Yikes!
Whenever a dinosaur you control is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to any target that's not a dinosaur.
Pretty good!
That's Enrage, Mike. We saw Enrage come back. Things care about damage being dealt to themselves.
Yep.
This necessitates being in a dinosaur or a changeling deck, but if you're in that deck, combat is your oyster now. I mean, no one's allowed to deal damage to your creatures because now you can just hit, you reflect it to anything. You hit another creature, you hit a player, blow up a planeswalker. Mike, this, you do not want to be blocking someone's creatures when they have this.
Plus, you get into the idea of just like, oh, not only that, but all of your board wipes that you're going to use against something like this, they better be destroyed. No damage board wipes. You damage
something. If you have a Blasphemous Act, you hit everybody for 13 multiple times.
Great. I'm going to hit you.
Oh my gosh.
This is very cool. Heck, I'd do it myself.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you can even run like ping effects in red and just start hitting your own dinosaurs.
Yeah. Or, you enrage your dinosaurs, and you hit your dinosaurs, and then your dinosaurs are mad, so they hit things that aren't dinosaurs.
They're enraged, and they hit something else,
Oh, boy.
And then you have toucans.
We love cascade effects. If you have enrage effects, I'm going to hit this thing.
Yes, this set does support enrage.
Well, great. This means that everything that has enrage is going to trigger if you're able to do 1 damage to one of your dinosaurs. No, because it can't do it to another dinosaur. Okay. So there's a way to do this.
I'm gonna figure this out.
Yeah. Okay. I still like this. I think the enrage ones that do
it doesn't
it because
go
they
by
hit
itself, Mike.
But it can. It just needs a friend.
Mike, talk to me about Chaos Warp version 6.0 over here.
Zoyoa's Justice, 1 and a red for an instant. The owner of target artifact or creature with mana value 1 or greater shuffles it into their library. Then that player discovers X, where X is its mana value. So you're going to have somebody cascade something into play or into their hand.
We have seen so many iterations on Chaos Warp lately, and I don't like this one at all. I like the reduced cost. I think it's good at 2 and not just 3. It only hits artifacts and creatures.
That's fine.
But it also helps ensure that they're going to get something out of it. The original Chaos Warp and some other variants have that problem, which, you know, for many Magic players is not a problem. For me, it is, where they can whiff hard and they don't get anything at all, or maybe nothing good. But Discover is very hard to whiff off of because you don't dig X deep. You don't dig
until you dig until and then it's in your hand or it's no,
it's a counterspell. I don't want to use it. You'll find something, and if you can't use it, you'll put it into hand.
It's very cool.
They'll get something off this.
I like this a lot.
This is a nice one.
Yeah, and again, we also like when we're talking about Chaos Warp effects, target owner. Cool. I am the owner of
target
things.
Artifact or creature, yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty solid. I like that a lot. That's it for red. We got a couple of green cards to talk about.
Just a couple, yep.
And then we're going to take a quick break before we get into the multicolor cards. Go ahead and lead us off here.
Okay, we got Cosmium Confluence. Now it has Confluence in it, so you know it's going to be a modal spell.
Let's do things.
To sorcery for 5 mana, choose 3. And you may choose the same mode more than once.
Okay.
First mode, search your library for a cave card. Put it onto the battlefield, tapped and shuffle. That's ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Second option, put 3 +1/+1 counters on a cave you control. It becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land.
Okay.
That's land animation. Some decks like to do that. Third option, destroy target enchantment. So we've got some spot removal, we've got some ramp, and we've got some land animation.
Mm-hmm.
It's modal, so you can really do what you want. What options do you see yourself choosing on this, Mike?
Again, depending on caves.
Yeah, of course it depends.
And looking at those.
Yeah.
So unless I absolutely need to, I would find a cave.
Mm.
And then I'd find a cave.
Mm.
And then I'd find a cave.
You do 3 caves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's an enchantment that absolutely needs to die, cool. I would like to have 3 caves, please.
Is 5 mana for ramp 3 good enough?
Is 2 mana for ramp 1 good enough?
Yes.
Is 4 mana for ramp 2 good enough?
No.
Is 3 mana for ramp 1 and 1 into hand good enough?
Not for me.
Okay. So that's here's the thing. I will take 5 to get 3 before I would take 3 to get 1 and then have 1.
Sure. And so again, the issue is there's not enough caves yet.
Yeah.
But there will be maybe in the
future. Yeah, and that's the thing. If this said cave or basic,
ooh,
I'd be down.
That would be way stronger.
Yeah.
That would be, like, I would choose that option almost every time at that point.
But right.
Yeah, when caves sort of get printed again, and we've said this about many cards, sometimes cards just aren't, they're still too parasitic for their base set. But mm-hmm. if they ever do the mechanic again, they'll become more viable.
Right. No, I this is another one of those cards, much like the Calamitous Cave-In, where it's, okay, this could be cool.
Like, how do you feel about using this, spending 4 and a green to blow up 3 enchantments? Is that worth 5 mana sorcery?
I put it this way. It would have to be 3 pretty bad enchantments.
Yeah.
If it was artifact or enchantment, I'd really like this card. I think this card is good. I wish there were a couple of tweaks.
It's always going to feel overcosted.
Yep. And you always, yeah, exactly. You pay a little bit extra.
You pay that modal premium, yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't like a card when it's modal, and the second ability is something that I don't think I'm ever going to do.
I think if you're in a deck that cares about animating lands, like a Nissa deck or something, mm-hmm. this becomes much stronger. Because now you have 3 good options.
Even so, if that's the case, I'm probably not going to use the thing that specifically cares about one type of land.
Yeah,
to
that's
be able
the
problem.
Just aren't enough yet.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If I'm playing a deck that animates lands, this is probably my worst land animation card.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Well, you know, we'll come back to it in 2 years.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's unfair to judge it right now, and right. Unfortunately, that's what I'm doing to it.
Okay.
Scion of Calamity.
Ooh.
Three green green for a 5/5 dinosaur with myriad. We love that. So whenever this creature attacks for each opponent other than the defending player, you make a you may create a token that's a copy of this creature that's tapped and attacking that player or a planeswalker they control, and then you exile the tokens at end of combat. Cool. Whenever Sign of Calamity deals combat damage to a player, destroy target artifact or enchantment that player controls. See, I'd rather do this for 5 mana. This is a
pretty solid 5 mana. Now, we have that excellent spot rule.
Holy cow.
It's going to be able to happen to multiple players due to that myriad effect. And in the past, we've talked about myriad. It's not just a raw aggro keyword, Mike. It also has this intrinsic political angle because you choose how many copies you make and those copies will go in. You don't have to.
Yeah, as you may.
Have to send in, which is important here, especially because if it goes in and hits for damage, you have to blow something up they control.
It doesn't say up so to. Yeah, this is destroy target artifact or enchantment. To
not make a copy against that player you cut a deal with, or the player that is maybe they're way behind, you don't want to burn them down. You're getting that myriad. It doesn't have evasion on it, which can be a problem. Getting that combat damage trigger in with no trample, with no flying, it can be a bit of an issue. If you're in a green stompy deck, though, I bet you give this evasion.
Right. Well, you either give it evasion or the entire principle of it is, hey, I'm just going to make a smart attack. Yeah. It's a 5/5 for 5 mana that makes other 5/5s.
Yeah. I mean, this has the potential to deal 15 scary. Damage per combat.
Yeah. No, it's very cool.
This is a dinosaur right here.
Rawr. What's our last one in green?
Welcome to, for one green green, it's an enchantment saga. And first chapter for each opponent, up to one target non-creature artifact they control becomes a 0/4 wall artifact creature with defender for as long as you control this saga. Chapter 2, create a 3/3 green dinosaur creature token with trample. It gains haste until end of turn. And chapter 3, destroy all walls. Exile this saga. Then return it to the battlefield transformed under your control. And the back face, Jurassic Park, is a legendary land transforms from welcome to. Each dinosaur card in your graveyard has escape. This escape cost is equal to the card's mana cost plus exile 3 other cards from your graveyard. We've seen that before. And then it has the mana ability, add green for each dinosaur you control. So, in a dinosaur deck, doing a lot of work, but that front face isn't nothing. First of all, very flavorful, right? You have walls, the walls get knocked down, and then all the dinosaurs escape. We love it. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
There's a lot of times that I've lifted up from, like, a card that's probably, like, a 5 out of 10. I've lifted it up a couple of points because, like, oh, the flavor is so good. This might be my most flavor win that we've had.
This is a big flavor recording. Win right here.
Holy cow. There's so many different stages of this.
Let's talk about these stages, Mike.
Okay. Each opponent, building walls. Cool.
No, they're...
Here you go.
They're turning an artifact they control into an animated
wall. A wall. Yeah. So...
Which now means it can be destroyed by creature destruction.
Yep.
Including with defender. This very saga, if it gets to it.
Well... And the other thing, it's like, okay, great, I'm going to do this with a Blightsteel Colossus. Well, now your Blightsteel Colossus is an 0/4 artifact that has
defender. Has to be a non-creature artifact.
Oh, you're right. Okay. So either way.
So like a metal
turning a thing into a wall. Yeah. Very cool. I like it. I'm still fixated on the flavor.
There's a lot of text on this card, Mike.
Create a 3/3 dinosaur creature with trample.
And haste?
Sure.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, all right, fine. It's 3 mana. That's cool. Destroy all walls. Okay, so the things that you turned into walls are gone. Exile the saga. And then you get your Jurassic Park.
And you better be the in fact a dinosaur that all deck of, at this point.
The fact that the dinosaur cards have escaped is just...
The dinosaurs have escaped.
I can't believe that it's... Oh, flip it over. By the way, all more the dinosaurs flavor! Escape.
No, okay. That flavor is phenomenal, Mike.
And then Gaia's Cradle for dinosaur.
I mean, this just goes into every green dinosaur deck.
This is very cool. I like this card a lot.
Jurassic Park.
Also, I love the welcome dot dot dot.
What? Yeah. Oh, it's, okay. Cool. That's not even a standard ellipse. That's got spaces between each.
It's super big. Yeah. The three ellipses are bigger than the word two. Very cool. Yeah. That's all the monocolored cards. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump into the multicolor / non-colors. So stay tuned. All right, Alex, we're back. I'm tired of all these cards that are only one color. Yeah. I want more. Boring. I want diversity. Everything.
Mike, you can't have your multicolor cards until you say the magic word.
Please?
Okay. Permission denied.
Oh, wait, sorry.
For what?
Sorry. Wait, no, this is the ones I've seen. Please! There you go. Now go ahead.
It's permission denied for white and a blue. That's 2 mana. And everyone remembers this moment from the movie. It's great. It's an instant counter-target non-creature spell. Your opponents can't cast non-creature spells this turn. Mike, this is render silent +++.
Yep.
You're not just locking out a single player from casting this turn. Nobody can cast this turn. So, I mean, if this is on your winning turn, on your alpha strike, on your combo turn, you just won. Nobody else can do anything now. Or this maybe you countered somebody. They were going to go off on their big turn. Now they can't do anything on their turn, and nobody else can do anything either. And this is only a white and a blue. This is a very well-costed counterspell, Mike.
We like save you cards. We like win you cards. This is a save you, win you card.
Yeah, this is going to protect your win con or end somebody else's go for a win.
Yeah, you got other counterspells if you're just trying to make something.
This is not your only counterspell.
Yeah.
No.
Ideally, this is the I will hold. Very cool.
Yes.
I like this card. Whale of the Forgotten. Blue and a black for a sorcery with Descend 8. Choose one. If there are 8 or more permanent cards in your graveyard and you cast this, as you cast the spell, you can choose one or more instead. That's a good modal for 2 mana. So the options are return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So 2 mana for a bounce. Not bad. On its own, very good. Target opponent discards a card. Okay. Yeah. A little bit of. And then look at the top 3 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard.
Mike, if you're getting all 3 modes off this, that's some value right there. If you're getting Descend 8 fulfilled and you're getting bounce, discard, and scry 3 draw a card, basically.
Filter.
I mean, that's not.
Two in the graveyard. So is that not quite dredge? I don't know what that would be. Point is, it's 2 mana. 2 mana just bounce.
It's similar to Surveil a little bit, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. Two mana bounce is like fine by itself.
On a sorcery, it's not good enough.
It's not good enough, but it's fine. 2 mana, do more.
This is perfect colors for you to have 8 permanents in your graveyard. It's in blue, black, Dimir. You're running this in a mill deck, really.
It's pretty cool. I like that. What's our next one here?
So I think this will be the opportunity where we briefly have a word about Descend. Molten Collapse is black-red, 2 mana for a sorcery. Choose one. If you descended this turn, you may choose both instead.
Okay.
So let's do the modes, and then we'll talk briefly about Descend, and then we'll talk about what's on this card.
Got it.
First mode, destroy target creature or planeswalker. Solid. Second mode, destroy target non-creature, non-land, permanent, mana value 1 or less. Okay, so let's talk about Descend. We've seen a lot of descending in this set so far. The reason why I didn't really go into it is because two of the Descend things in this set are Descend N and Fathomless Descent, both of which are ability words. And as you may know, an ability word is a word in italics with a long dash after it. When you see that, you know that that's a flavor mechanic and you don't have to know anything that isn't printed on the card to figure out what that does. It's all on the card. But Descend
reading the card
is not,
explains the card in that extent.
But Descend is not just an ability word. It's also a keyword, and cards can care about whether you've descended. And you've descended this turn if a permanent card has been put into your graveyard from anywhere. So that's either discard out of hand, dash from the battlefield, resolves from the stack, or mill out of your library. And it doesn't matter if that happened before you cast the spell or anything like that, because it's just checking that you've descended this turn. Let's talk about these two modes, Mike. How do you feel about these?
Destroy target creature or planeswalker for two mana. Always good.
Very nice.
Very good. Always really good.
And then we have another spot removal, but what are we going to hit with this? Non-creature,
non-land.
Mana value one or less. Yeah. So it's an artifact, an enchantment, a planeswalker, or a battle. Mana value one or less.
Okay.
How many of those are there?
I mean, there's a decent amount of nice, mana enchantments. You can hit some nice fast mana. Yeah, you can hit fast mana, and you can hit a couple of different enchantments.
Do you just want to consider that gravy?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, that's all I consider it.
Okay.
It's. I don't want to blow up a soul ring, but I might have to. You know, it's one of those, like, I read this as two mana, do the thing that the card wants to do, and sometimes you get to do
the thing to keep in mind is that unlike the Dimir version of this spell, which requires, if you want that multi-mode pick, to have to send eight, which eight permanent cards in your graveyard, that can take a little bit of work to get in. But for this one, if any creature that was a non-token creature has died, if you've milled any permanent spell, any of those things I just talked about, this, you're going to get both modes.
It's a cool card.
Yeah.
It's a very
cool
card.
It's definitely Rakdos.
It's definitely Rakdos. And we're going to stay in Rakdos. Zoyoa, Lava Tone. This is a 2/2 Goblin Warlock with Death Touch. Interesting.
For red and a black.
For a red and a black. At the beginning of your end step, if you descended this turn, each opponent may discard a card or sacrifice a permanent. Zoyoa, Lava Tongue deals 3 damage to each opponent who did.
Group slug.
Okay, that's pretty slick. At 2 mana, if you had a card enter your graveyard from anywhere, everybody else has to either a permanent card, correct? Has to discard a card or sacrifice a permanent. Otherwise, they take 3.
It's May. They can either discard or sac or take 3, which you may recognize is what's that X spell. Bolas's
if they don't sacrifice a permanent or discard a card, they lose 3 life.
Mm.
Torment?
No. Torment of Hellfire? Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
This is just a single instance of Torment of Hellfire, right? It's either
on your end step.
Discard or sac or take 3. And I mean, it's not a huge swing, but this is not a huge commander, Mike. This is a 2 mana commander.
No.
It's a 2/2 with Death Touch. It's an uncommon, so it'll always be pretty cheap. And the art on this is just delightful. I mean, look at that little thing there. What is it doing?
I mean, you know, some people like love dogs, and then you look at that dog and you're like, that is
like, this is my
dog.
Favorite dog.
This is,
it's like, wow, your dog is so beautiful. Like, that's my son.
Yeah. Zoyoa Lava Tongue is
now, do you prefer this art or do you prefer the canvas style art on the promo?
Oh, the canvas style art is adorable. That's actually adorable.
That one looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It's got like a magic wand.
Yeah, it looks more like kind of like you know how I think it's rabbit hybridization that turns something into like a lizard frog or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what I assume a lizard frog looks like.
Do goblins usually have tails? I don't think of goblins as having long tails.
No, maybe.
I guess
lots of different types of goblins, I guess, at this point.
That's an interesting commander. If you're trying to play like an uncommon low-power commander, I think that's going to churn some good value for you, Mike.
Or just even lean into the group slug effect. I mean, it's 2/2 with Death Touch.
Yeah, that's some good group slug there.
So, I mean, all right, I'm going to make something that goads. I'm going to make stuff that, you know, that swings.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Rakdos. You get to do everything.
Yeah. And just, okay, by the way, here's a little bit more damage for things that are already happening as part of the effect.
And I mean, it says Zoyoa deals the damage, so if you give it infect, that's going to be a problem.
Or pump, figure out ways to play around with this. I like that a lot. Why don't you lean into another legendary here for us?
So we've got Kutzil, Malamet Exemplar, which is 1 green, white, 3 mana for a legendary creature, Cat Warrior. It's a 3/3.
Meow.
And it says, your opponents can't cast spells during your turn, Grand Abolisher.
We already love this!
Grand Abolisher, second line. Whenever one or more creatures you control, each with power greater than its base power, deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. So that's a little bit confusing. Basically, any pumped creature that you control of any kind, whether it has a pump spell, +1/+1 counters, anything like that. No matter how many
anthem effects, whatever,
how many creatures you have, do that. So go wide is not helping. You'll draw one card. So if they have double strike, you can do two.
To a player. To each player, right?
Yeah. So you can get three or six.
So you can get a three maximum in a standard. That's what I wanted to, that's what I wanted to double check on. Because I understand there's only one instance. One to each
opponent, but it won't help if you do five at each opponent.
I mean, the idea that, hey, what type of deck is this? Bigger than it used to be. it's kind of a fun one for me.
Yeah.
I don't mind this. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know if
this
is
even necessarily your commander. I think this plays well in the 99 of Selesnya.
It does. It does, because the first static effect of opponents not casting spells during your turn.
That is powerful.
That's really powerful. And that's why I keep leaning into, like, I want to put this in. I'd love to put this as a commander. And then my entire turn is just like, I'm going to do weird combat tricks.
And, like, this is an uncommon commander.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I like that. Also, invaders in the West Chasm, give me an hour and they'll be fungus food. Like, you're a cool cat. Kutzil, Malamet Exemplar. It's very...
Okay. Yeah, look at that.
The alternate art, I don't like as much. What's
happening in that? It looks pained.
Yeah, your legs are the wrong kind of lumpy.
Oh my gosh, what is happening? Okay, let's not talk about that.
No, the first one is cool. First one, strong. Love it. Amalia Benavidez Aguirre? Amalia Benavidez Aguirre. Okay, cool. White and a black for a 2/2 vampire scout with ward, pay 3 life. Whenever you gain life, Amalia Benavidez Aguirre, I was so close, explores. Then destroy all other creatures if its power is exactly 20.
This is a very silly trigger, Mike.
Wait a second.
Oh my gosh. So if its power is 20 exactly, not 20 or more, but exactly 20.
So this is going to happen once.
You get a board wipe on every life. Well, unless you give her indestructible. But yeah.
No, because it's... destroy all other creatures.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to survive, but the entire time when you do this requires the explore trigger. Every time
that you gain life and she has exactly 20 power, you just keep blowing the board up.
Yeah, gain life, cool. It's pretty
difficult to get this to 20 without anybody trying to stop you.
Well, you pump it up. You do a bunch of other stuff to it. And that all makes sense to me, and I'm not worried about that. But the...
And this is a very low-cost commander, Mike. This is white-black.
This is gonna happen. I'm annoyed. This card could have been so cool.
If you play this card, your goal is to get it to 20, right? That's your goal.
Yeah. You get it to 20, absolutely. But then whenever you gain life, it explores. And unless it is a land, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So you get it to explore, then you put a +1/+1 counter on it. If you were at 20, you got to do the thing. Great, you did it. Cool. Now, next time you gain life, you explore, and that is not a land. You put a +1/+1 counter on it. You don't have a choice. And then you do something different with the card. Yeah, if
you
have something
that's causing you life gain on like multiple times throughout the turn or on somebody else's turn, you're churning that value. You're getting lands on the field. You're pumping it up.
So instead, what I'm reading is this card, the 20, the power, blow everything up, that's fine. Whatever. You'll do that once, and you'll be super happy about it. Whenever you gain life, explore. That's more to anything sounds like it is, hey, what do you want to filter? Because if I have multiple instances of life gain... And I'm filtering lands off the top of my...
instances.
Well, just multiple instances of, okay, great. I'm going to put this out for 2. And then I'm going to go to my next turn. It's turn 3. Okay. I'm going to do this to gain 1 life. I'm going to do this to gain 1 life. I'm going to explore twice. If I explore twice and that's 2 lands, great. I've ramped 2 for the next turn.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. The concept of this card and what it actually does versus the thing that is like the, oh... If it does this, then do this. What it actually does is terrifying. Yeah, gain life, filter through deck, and ramp whenever.
Mike, can we talk about this alternate art? I am a huge fan. Huge fan. We've got the canvas going on. She's in sort of this classic Renaissance conquistador style pose with her feather.
Oh, head. Yeah, very cool.
And in the
very
background, cool. We have calligraphy, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, it's...
I think it looks gorgeous.
I'm not mad by any means. I just... It was... It's
Alex Negria who did that art. Very nice work there.
That is a terrifying card. It's a terrifying card.
That's a dangerous. I mean, that's a scary commander for two mana. That's not bad.
No, it's again.
Let's talk about a fun.
It's so good.
Fun commander.
Yeah.
Ian Malcolm, Chaotician. Oh boy, Chaos 3. One blue red. That's three mana for a legendary creature, human scientist. It's a 2/2. You ever heard of Chaos 3?
Uh-huh.
Whenever a player draws their second card each turn, that player exiles the top card of their library. During each player's turn, that player may cast a spell from among the cards they don't own. Exiled with Ian Malcolm, Chaotician, and mana of any type can be spent to cast it. Mike, this is so fun.
It's a very cool
card. You're creating this knowledge pool style effect, but it doesn't lock people out.
It's a very
cool card.
You're just
kind of making people put into the pile, and they're not ever going to be able to use their own spell, but they'll be able to use anyone else's spell. And I mean, you're just naturally, as people draw multiple cards each turn, which I think the way we play and the way you might play in this is a deck, if you made it, you're going to have that group hug draw. You're going to make them draw.
Yeah.
And when they do, you're going to start exiling cards out of their library. Mike, this is so fun.
Well, even just, hey, I'm going to build this to mostly be off me, but hey, you guys want to play too? It's a very cool idea of doing that. And yeah. No, I like that a lot. Three mana, 2/2, build off of something that is it likes to do a lot. Cool.
This is a really fun commander.
It really is. I like the idea of making people. You're basically doubling their hand size at a certain point.
This is a group hug chaos commander.
Yeah. Exiling the top card of their library. It's out of here. You're making people. You're limiting deck size. At the same time that you are, like, it's kind of interesting. You're exiling cards. So as long as this commander is out here, great. If it's not out here, that's going to be a problem. Man.
I like this. And I like Jeff Goldblum. I think he's a fun actor to watch.
Yeah.
So good to see him have a great card here. I like this a lot.
Yeah. I'm glad that it wasn't like, what did they do? I don't know.
Talk to me about... what is possibly the funniest card this set?
You mean a Swooping Pterodon?
Yeah.
This is three red, white for 3/3 Flying Haste Dinosaur. Whenever Swooping Pterodon, or another dinosaur with flying enters the battlefield under your control, gain control of target creature an opponent controls until end of turn. Untap that creature. It gains flying and haste until the end of turn. At the beginning of the next end step, target land deals 3 damage to that creature.
What on earth is happening, Mike?
I can tell you, it's really mean.
Children.
Yeah, they're sweeping up your children, and then they are dropping them.
Deal damage? What is happening?
Because they're sweeping them up, and then they're dropping them from the sky, and they're landing on the land. Yeah, it's terrible. Remember all that fun you were talking about?
Mike, there's a land in this set. They had a new cycle of man lands, elemental lands that can be animated. Uh-huh. One of them gives the land death touch.
That's terrible, and I love it.
This is such a silly, fun Boros card. I'm so pleased to see this.
You're going to
do
so
a temporary steal effect.
Yeah.
Maybe you kill it, maybe you sacrifice it, maybe you swing in. Who knows?
You're just stealing fun stuff. You steal something and give it flying and haste. Like, so I understand
it can hit in.
It's going.
Yeah,
it's going. I'm doing the math on how many flying dinosaurs there are. And just like, okay, what's the
I
most...
I think there's quite a few. You
there's
may
a decent
not
chunk.
Be able to build a whole deck around it, but...
No.
I think there's a good number.
Yeah, no, you get this out, and with dinosaur-type decks...
Right.
You're getting multiple dinosaurs.
One
like, there's
the
other stuff
is
you're doing.
A lot of the good dinos are green, and green can't really fly so much. A little bit
right.
They can.
I'm just going to give all my creatures flying. It'll be fine.
All
my dinos fly now.
Let's talk about Indoraptor. The perfect hybrid.
Rawr.
Rawr. for one, and black green hybrid and red. That's a total of 3 mana. Legendary creature, dinosaur mutants. It's a 3/1 with menace and bloodthirst X. Real quick, this creature ETBs with X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the damage dealt to it, dealt to your opponents this turn. So all damage to your opponents combined, it gets that many 1/1 counters when it ETBs, and it has menace. It also has enrage. Whenever Indoraptor the Perfect Hybrid is dealt damage, choose an opponent at random. Indoraptor deals damage equal to its power to that player unless they sacrifice a non-token creature. This is Jund, Mike.
This is going in Vivictus, and it's gonna be the worst for everybody.
What a fun card. Holy moly, Mike.
Okay.
It's a mutant, but it doesn't mutate? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, it mutates via Bloodthirst. It gets real big.
It gets big.
This is a cool card. Thantis, Vivictus, any cards that care about people sacking things, any cards that care about combat.
And you're a big fan of hitting people at random.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of that. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Mike, this card's pre-ordering for $33.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. This is a because really good awesome. Card.
Yeah.
It's a cool card.
Yeah. I saw the enrage come back.
Yeah.
And I just,
whenever this is done, here's the thing. This is really easy to trigger with ping effects.
Oh, yeah. And then it deals damage equal to its power, not the damage you got hit by.
No, it's...
So the more you pump this...
Yeah, well, okay. I attack with Vivictus. It's the only thing I attack with. Okay. I hit somebody. I get 6 Bloodthirst counters because this is the thing that's flipped over onto the field.
So now it's a 9...
So eight. Now it's a 9/7.
Sorry, 9/7, yeah.
You're good. No, you're good. Okay, great. So now whenever I figure out ways to make this thing take 1 point of damage,
now you're smacking people on the head for 9.
9. And that's like just standard. That's just, hey, this is kind of the thing that it does.
Now, let's be clear. People see this, it's their commander. They're seeing their commander hit people for 9. That is not commander damage, Mike. Commander damage is combat damage.
Right. So instead, you make this your commander. You do a whole bunch of damage, then you cast it, then it's a big, mm-hmm. then you hit people with it, and it's a 9/7 or whatever it is. And if you hit them, great, 9 points of damage.
Yeah, and with menace, it can only be blocked by 2 or more creatures.
Yeah. I this is a very cool card.
Yeah, this is very so cool card. Like, very Jund. I'm a big fan. I think a lot of people are big fans of this one.
Yep. Move on to a mythic here. Weta. Trainer Prodigy.
Yeah, way to go, Mike.
Yeah, way to go. Green, red, white for a 1/5 human warrior with haste. It has an ability, 2 and a green, tap it. Target creature you control fights another target creature. This ability costs 2 less to activate if it targets 2 creatures you control. Damn it. Oh my gosh.
Just keep going.
All right, no, there's another half of the card.
There's more.
Sorry, everyone. If a creature you control being dealt damage causes the triggered ability of that permanent to control.
We got it twice.
If a creature you control being dealt damage causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time.
Mike, this is Gaia.
So real quick, this is a 1/5 for with 3 haste. Mana with haste. 3 mana, target creature you control fights another target creature, but... 1 green, tap, target creature you control fights just target green. Creature you just control. Green. Just green, yeah. If a creature you control being dealt damage causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger,
this is the that ability triggers an additional time. Enrage commander. If you're doing Enrage, you just found it right here.
It's Enrage and a bunch of other stuff that cares.
It's also ping, and it's also Naya of removal. Like, you can take your big boy and smack somebody else's thing with it, and it's... It might die. It's got a big butt on it, high toughness, so it'll stay alive when it fights. Yep.
It's gonna stick around. It's gonna happen immediately.
Rent a death touch.
And it presumably for 4 mana, you're putting this out here and activating it immediately. I have a Jared Karthalion True Heir deck.
Does this go to Jared's?
This might be something. I think it goes to Jared's. Just because the amount of times that I'm like, I'm going to have my things do damage to Jared. That's all I wanted to do. I just want Jared to be big.
We can definitely make
and
things
then one punch man somebody.
And they'll lose.
And it'll trigger twice.
Yes. Yeah, you get that double damage trigger. Very fun stuff here. And you have this spot removal snake thing happening.
Yeah. No, that's... I like this. For 3 mana on a 1/5, that's pretty slick. And more importantly, it's like, all right, great, I'm going to make it fight something. Because it's only doing 1 damage to the thing, and it's more than likely to survive. Enrage twice. That's double very enrage. Cool. This is a yeah, clever card.
Mike, let's talk about what may well be my favorite card this set. Contested Game Ball. 2 generic for an artifact. Whenever you're dealt combat damage, the attacking player gains control of Contested Game Ball and untaps it. It has the activated ability, pay 2 and tap, draw a card, and put a point counter on Contested Game Ball. Then, if it has 5 or more point counters on it, sacrifice it and create a treasure token. Mike, this is a minigame artifact. I love
minigames. This is the nice version of the Strixhaven
stadium. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to keep up points. We're going to keep up points, and you're going to get to draw cards.
Like, this is like mini Monarch.
We got to 5, game over.
For a single treasure, but also you're getting a card.
Yeah.
Mike, this is so much
fun. Well, and you're giving other people the ability to get said cards. That's pretty cool.
A game. I know there's an Aztec game that predates, obviously, all of our ball games, and this is quite similar to something like basketball, and the card itself is a game, Mike. I love this card.
It's a very cool card.
Oh my goodness.
It's a very cool card. 2 mana. It's cheap enough. You have
this kind of gambit thing going on where you're trying to be the last one to put the point counter on it?
Sure. It's cheap enough. I like that it's 5.
Yeah,
this is going to get passed around a couple of dimes, presumably. This is not an immediate, it's gone. No, I like it.
So cool.
You've got a very good chance of being able to get this back, even if it goes around the table entirely.
It's on the lower power side. The big prize is 1 treasure. It's an uncommon. Who cares?
Well, it's 2 mana drawing cards. That's the real value, is sharing
that card draw.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, Mike. This is so, so fun.
I like it a lot.
Talk to me about our soul land, which actually is a cave.
We got one, everybody! Volatile Vault. It's a land cave. You can tap it to add a colorless. You can also pay 1 mana, tap it, and sacrifice it to destroy target non-basic land and opponent controls. That player may search the library for a basic land, put it on the battlefield, and you create a treasure token. So it replaces itself once, as far as...
This is a pretty solid wasteland effect.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
1 mana to and you sacrifice it, but you're getting a treasure token out of it. And it's something that doesn't come into play tapped or anything crazy like that. That's pretty cool. It's efficient.
I think this goes up against, obviously there's a lot of other very efficient land removal lands. Mm-hmm. The one that we like, name escapes me, but it's Volcanic something, maybe. When you blow up somebody's non-basic, everybody at the table gets a basic, which we love that. But this is also having that nice effect. You're going to replace it. Not all of these effects do. And you're going to get a treasure.
This is slick. I do like this.
And it's a cave.
And it is a cave. So they do exist. Alex, that's
They do move in herds.
They do move in herds. That's what we got, man. That's all of them.
Got for Lost Caverns of Ixalan and the Commander set and Jurassic Park, Universes Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, a lot of interesting stuff here. How are you feeling about this?
It's pretty slick. Yeah. I like a lot of cards here. And I mean, obviously, these are the... especially selected ones.
Yes, I've curated this list out of the set. We only talk about the social political cards. We don't talk about... Now, Mike, there is a card in the set that makes triple tokens, which we didn't talk about because that's not a social card, but keep an eye on that one.
Well, that just doesn't make sense, because if you have more tokens, that means there's more people to talk to. That means that it's more social. Alex, we're going to have to...
I make the cuts before Mike gets a say. So.
That's fair. What's your favorite card that we talked about today?
Mike, I think I'm going to be real with you. I think it's Contested Game Ball.
Yeah.
And if it's not Contested Game Ball, because I have that heavy recency bias. I always like the stuff that we talk about last.
Sure.
But usually because it's artifacts, right?
I mean, that's fair. artifacts and
what
and
else?
Lands.
What else is really fun from this set?
I mean, I really like the Unstable Glyph Bridge a lot, just because that's five mana for a kind of weird board wipe, and then turn into five mana and exile a thing into no, don't hurt me, leave me alone.
Charismatic Conqueror also just churning out that
very
slow hate bear value.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this stays on the field. I don't think people blow this up.
All that said,
what's your favorite?
Weta is really good. Weta is really good.
Yeah, Weta is so cool.
I think the Scytheclaw Raptor is the thing that I'm gonna end up doing the most though.
I think that has to be your deck name is Way to Go, right?
I mean, yeah, but Scytheclaw Raptor, I'm going to get that card for a lot of decks that don't even care necessarily about that card. It's just, hey, is this a dinosaur deck? No, but it's a deck that does not cast at instant speed a whole lot. So go.
Raptor, that's excellent group slug.
It's really good. Four damage and things when things aren't cast on their turn for three mana. And it's a 4/3. Like this is one of those things where it's considered a negative effect for the player as well that's casting it. But if I'm not going to do that.
You might not even be.
Great. Here's my big old 4/3 for three mana that is going to, if one person does it, it's already returned on value.
It's funny. Last night, I finally had the opportunity to play Commanders. I don't often do.
Hooray! And
I got to play against somebody brought out a Rurik Thar, which I've seen many times.
Uh-huh.
Right? Rurik Thar is that gruel legend that has a very cruel ability that whenever anyone casts a non-creature spell, it hits them for 6. Mike, that card does so much work, I can't even tell
you. Yeah.
That card eliminates life totals. And this card does similar work.
Yeah,
it's so happy to see you.
It's so happy to see somebody. This is a cool set. I've enjoyed it. I this is one of those sets I get to do a lot more digging on because. So, peek behind the curtain. I made a Gashath deck for Amanda. I already discussed that. Yay, dinosaurs! Yes. And then. She had an Atla Pilani, the egg deck.
The egg tender, yeah.
Yeah, and I asked her what kind of, like, things that she wanted to hatch from the eggs, and she said, in the way that only she can say, dinosaurs! And I said, but you already have a dinosaur deck. And she said, uh-huh. So
they added some egg cards in this set.
Yes, they did, which is why it's like, I'm going to be doing a decent amount of digging through this set for cool cards and things along those lines. And Alex, if I wanted to support our show when I was picking up those cards, I would go to bit.ly/EDH_social. That would take us to our affiliate link at TCG Player, where all the cards that we discussed and a lot of the cards that we didn't, you can go there, buy them, doesn't charge you anything extra, and it helps out the show just a little bit. And that's pretty cool. But if anybody wanted to ask some questions about these cards and how they work and what is the weird mechanic that I've already forgotten about because I
and
closed
why
the tab.
Didn't they reprint Descent into Avernus?
And where are the parlay cards? How would they get a hold of you?
Why would you ask me where those are? I don't have any control over that. Well, you can find me in our community Discord where we have a lovely community of people who love to talk about social contract, everything, Repug groups, Lux, Stax, Chaos, all the best and fun stuff that we just love. They love it too, Mike.
Yeah.
And we're always in there talking with them. They show us cards they like. They ask me judge questions. Or they can just hit me up on my Twitter at Lappermedic, LAPPERMEDIC. Or if any of these cards really sort of jumped out at you, and you saw that maybe these go infinite. I talked about maybe one of those. But if any of these cards maybe look like they might be part of an infinite combo, or you just want to find out, if there's any combos in your deck, my website, CommanderSpellbook.com, is going to help you out with all of that. And Mike, very exciting news out of Commander Spellbook. Number one, we hit 25,000 combos. I announced that during my solo episode last time for Halloween. Awesome. Great work, everybody. But we also just released what, you know, may not be a major feature for a bystander, but for us, this is huge. Usually, until now, the way that people contributed combos to our website is they would basically copy and paste a little text template on Discord. They'd put it into a Discord channel. It would be manually reviewed by an editor. The editor would then transfer that to our database, which was not a database, and then eventually it would go live. Now we have a much, much more streamlined system. We have transitioned to a real database with a real backend, and now our members can submit combos to our website with a web form. You don't have to be doing any Discord shenanigans. You just go on our website, submit a combo, and it's as simple as just filling out a form. You just put in the cards that are in there. You're going to start typing in. For most of these things, Mike, it's going to autocomplete to help you fill that out. And very it's cool. Even going to autocomplete for things like, what does the combo do? Like infinite plus one counters. Well, how do I phrase that? It's going to help you by autofilling the rest of your phrase. I think this is the most user-friendly. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
So if you have maybe looked at my website before, you're like, hey, I have this great idea for a combo, but what a pain in the butt to put it in. I think you might be singing a different tune now. Things have changed a little bit there. And we're really just pleased as punch about that, Mike.
There you go. Well, good on that. Good on you. Good on them. Good on you all.
Yeah, it's a team effort. Everyone did a great job.
Hooray, team. That's going to do it for us this week, everybody. If you want to support the show, we've already discussed a little bit as far as buying new cards. You can go to our Patreon as well. Yeah. Our link in our show notes. You can also go to patreon.com and search for The Social Contract. We're going to be the ones that show up there. If you want to help keep the lights on, there's plenty of different ways that you can contribute to the show. That said, if you're not in our Discord yet, get in our Discord. Come on, Discord. If you don't like Discord, like let us break the new ground for you. It'll be super fun. Imagine a messenger on your phone that you could like not hate all the time.
And we say it again, this is a Discord for our podcast, but it's not just about our podcast. It's about everything that we love to do. And if you're looking at these spoiled cards and you're like, wow, that card's so cool. I wish I could talk with someone about all that group hug value.
You sure can.
Like, everyone's looking at you like you're an idiot. Join our Discord. We will gush with you, my friend.
Be like, you're not an idiot. We are many. We are legion. You're a genius. We are hug.
There are dozens of us.
This is a pretty cool set. I'm looking forward to getting some of these cards and slotting them in for a bunch of stuff. And lots of dinos and lots of non-dinos and lots of dinos in non-dino decks. It's going to be a good time.
Lots of fun stuff this set.
Let us know what your favorite cards were. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon.